This is Rod Peterson on Demand. No!
Can't remember my roommate's name, but we couldn't get into our room, and two exotic dancers came down the hallway and said, "Here you go, let us give you a hand with that."
How about that?
I was 16. It was like, whoa. Mandy at Edmonton has checked in, by the way. She says, flashback. I did find glitter around an ex's house all the way into the bedroom. Now you know. No charge.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Good day, everybody. PI work here.
If you missed yesterday.
It was all of hour one yesterday. Everybody, I welcome you to the program. I welcome the comments. People writing in. We're now Yelp. Darren and I, and specifically me, because you were tied up most of the morning doing that show intro there.
You took care of it.
I took care of it. So Jason in Red Deer writes in, he says, "I'm headed to PA this morning. Thanks for recommending Venice House for dinner, Rod. Should I have pizza or a burger? Bet they make great pizza." No. Order the cutlets. Thank me later. So this is Jason from Red Deer tweeting us and saying he's going to Prince Albert. What are some good restaurant recommendations? So that's why I say we are now Yelp.
Yeah.
And Venice House gets the RP show stamp of approval. Why did these guys come out of their cage and look at me?
I'm not sure.
Tell me. Am I in the wrong spot? Okay.
You look good.
I'm good, they say. Craig in Toronto, Craig Campbell, downtown at the Hockey Hall of Fame, says, "Morning from Toronto. I would like to see a game between the 1995 and 2005 Canada under 20 teams." That's our poll question today. I'm going to get back on track shortly. You see, I jumped off track real fast.
Oh, yeah.
But the poll question submitted by one of our viewers, Todd Pinckney, who is from our slow pitch team, too. He sent this to me last night. He said this would be a great poll question, and we're using it. Which was Canada's best ever World Junior team? And the options are 1991, 2005, 2009, or other. And if I may, before you jump in on this, 1991, I was there. Eric Lindros, Mike Sillinger, and I believe Jimmy Waite was the goalie. It was here. It was right down the street. And then from where we are now here in the sweatpants capital. And then 2005, UND, my dad was at that. He was scouting it for the Stars. He came back from Grand Forks. He was like, "Whoa, are they good?" Crosby, Phaneuf, help me out here.
Corey Perry was Chris on Getzlaff. That team.
Chris Getzlaff. Who was the Marc-Andre Fleury? Patrice Bergeron. Was Fleury the goalie? Jeff Glass. Well, they wanted all that. They didn't need a goalie.
Didn't need one.
And then 2009, you guys got to refresh my memory because it was another gong show around here before. We didn't get to the topics we wanted to get up to. It's good. It's good. Eberle, Subban, he's telling me, yes. I thought that was the year with Carey Price, but was that 2008? Thanks, Clark. So those are the options, 05, 09, 91, or other. And maybe I'll put in a sentimental vote for Theron Fleury in the punch-up in Piastani, which they were showing the other day on some network that I was watching, the Brawl, clips from Don Cherry's analysis. Anyways, the poll's up. Twitter continues to be a glitch, so you can't vote on Twitter, but you can on Facebook, and the poll is for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. So let's go. See, notice a lot of hockey today, but we are going to sprinkle in some football, so hang on. We're going to get to that in the quick six, but first, our show guests today. Our former Nashville Predator defenseman and former captain of the Regina Pats, and I think he was the captain of the Kamloops Blazers, too. I'm going to have to ask him. Victor Bartley. I really enjoyed him with the Pats. One of the two most famous people from Maple Ridge, B.C. Do you know who the other is?
I should.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does.
Larry Walker.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
And we used to talk to Barts about Larry Walker. And I think there's some other famous people from Maple Ridge, B.C. People, help me out, please. And then an hour two longtime buddies of mine. I know one far better than the other. But Sammy Cosentino, the whitest teeth in show business. He'll be joining us along with his partner, Rob Faulds, from CHL on Sportsnet broadcast. And I've met Faldsy. He's a super guy, too. But Sam Costantino and I did the World Juniors together in Alberta in 2012. So I'm looking forward to those fellas joining us. Great work getting them, Clark. And maybe they've got an update on the World Juniors and whether it's going to be played or not. What do you think?
I'm excited, you know, to see what they're going to say and just kind of, you know, get that scene set. And Sam, they're both kind of dialed into what's going on in the NHL, too. And this talk with the players and stuff. So that'll be interesting, especially to get Sam's take on that, because he's very sharp when it comes to those issues.
By the way, Joe Lazzito is watching in New York City. And he says, the punch-up team gets my vote. The punch-up in Piastani. You talk about old school. I thought it might have been the year you were born, so I don't think you remember that tournament. No. But I do remember this. Doug Sauter was coaching the Regina Pats at the time, and Theron Fleury was playing for the Moose Jaw Warriors. And Fleury came back from Piastani, and Sauter had said in the paper somewhere that when the lights were out, Fleury was running around suckering everybody. So then, of course, the reporters went over to Fleury and asked for a quote, and Fleury goes, how would he know? He wasn't even there. He wasn't invited. Boom!
That's just one and done.
That was the end of it. Fleury knocked out Sauter.
I wonder what it would take today for them to shut the lights out in the building. Like, how bad it would have to be today for them to shut the lights out.
Listen, man, we were watching it live. And, of course, I love a good brawl. All of a sudden, the lights are going out. And we're thinking it was that morning thing, like you say. You're in the glow of the Christmas tree at home.
Yeah.
You know, you're on school holidays. Because I was in high school at the time, and all of a sudden the lights are going out, and we're like, no, 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 don't do that. But we're thinking it's all these Europeans that have no idea what's going on, European rink workers.
Right.
Oh, let's shut out the lights. That'll stop them. No, that'll make it worse. And that's exactly what happened.
It's like those murder mysteries. There's a couple of movies like that, right? And you shut the lights off, shut the light, turn them back on, and somebody's dead. And then you got to spend all the next 2 hours.
Now we have no idea what happened.
Exactly.
Comment from Norway. Can you put that up, fellas, please, and thank you. Trent in Norway. Norway calling. The Steelers and Ravens got the game in. I'll second your vote for the Venice House in Prince Albert. Great meals every time. And it sounds so strange that the NHL and the Players Association have to do another CBA because of Corona. Really? Stay well, everyone. Thank you. And all the comments are coming in, and I appreciate them, but I got to get into the quick six, okay? So let's do that. There we go. Thanks, Jordan. So number one, because everybody's talking about it here, the NHL-NHLPA renegotiation, which Gary Bettman says it's not a renegotiation, and the players are saying, yes, it is. So we can start there. They're fighting over terminology of it, which might take them a while to sort out. But here's my point that I have. How much do you care? Because we all care. But how much do you care? I care for two reasons. Because overall, I've said it 1 million times approximately on this show. I don't get interested in the money. Get on the ice, get on the field, get on the diamond and play. Other than that, figure it out amongst yourselves. But I care because I feel like I need to know what's going on. I was on a podcast in Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia last night, the Offside Hockey Talk podcast with Jamie. And thanks to the other Jamie for having me on there and setting it all up. But the guys were like, what do you think about the ins and outs of this? I had to know. So that was like the only reason, the biggest reason why I'm delving into this. And the other reason is I want them to play hockey. So on a 1 to 10 scale, I'm at probably a 7 out of 10 how much I care on this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, figure it out, guys, and go play.
Yeah.
Your take, please.
Same thing. I mean, it's not about asking for more money, or it's not about greed. You know, I've learned a couple of things, and this isn't like the CBA is not my area of expertise, but it's about, for the league, it's about cash flow. Right. They're asking for the players to potentially pay back some of those escrow payments and the hockey revenue, which the players are entitled to 50% of the hockey revenue. But if the league overpays the players, you know, they pay more money than the revenue that comes in, the 50%, then the players have to pay that back over time, a certain amount over the years. And the league's saying, well, if we pay you too much, we're going to have to ask for more money back faster. And that's more for cash flow so we can get on the ice and play. And the players are like, we don't want to give you more money now. We want to defer those payments. And here's who it benefits. Most players in the NHL would want to defer the money, pay it later, because they're not going to be around in 4, 5, 6, right. 7 years, right? But it's the McDavids, the Austin Matthews, the guys who are going to be around for 7 or 8 years who are like, we probably want to pay it now.
And there's far less of them.
Far less of those guys.
than the other guys. But here's what dawned on me through all of this. Here's the interesting twist that nobody else is talking about, and I don't think I'm out to lunch here. Gary Bettman very clearly said at the Sports Business Journal panel yesterday that we expect normalcy for the 21-22 season. And I'm thinking, whoa. They think they're going to be rocking and rolling. Full arenas and full ticket prices, what they are now. TV deals that pay what they are now. There's a few years left on that. But I think the bottom's going to fall out of the whole thing. If they think they're going back to $11 million a year for Mitch Marner, the money's not going to be there. That's the whole idea of the reset. Whether you think it's planned or not, is to take the stuffing out of these leagues that are way overpaying their players. So a lot of stuff on point one, but I don't think we're ever going back to those salaries. Not in the NHL, not in any of these leagues.
It's going to be tough to climb.
But from what I read, I'm like, well, even Bettman thinks they're going back to where they were. They're not. Right? The owners think that. They're not. And by the way, the owners have the players completely buffaloed here because if the players just decide not to play at all, half the owners don't want to play at all because they're going to lose less money. The owners have all the cards here from what I can see.
Seems like it.
Yeah, seems like it. Moving on. Point two, two of the biggest names in junior hockey right now, and dare I say, maybe all of hockey currently, John Paddock and Connor Bedard are going to be meeting with the media in 39 minutes, 49 minutes, via Zoom out of the Brand Center with the Pats, and they're going to be talking about the upcoming season. So the only reason I bring that up is, A, that's my team. B, they're big names. It's not just a local thing. John Paddock, you all know him, coached two NHL teams, the Jets and the Senators. Connor Bedard, first ever WHL exceptional player. They're not talking about... They're talking about playing, was the sense I got. Did you get the news release?
Yeah, I think it's, that's how it sounds anyway.
That's how it sounds.
Like they're going to talk about what they're doing, when they're getting back on the ice.
All of that.
Incredibly exciting.
Sounds very... positive.
The only thing I would caution when it comes to the NHL starting at the beginning of January and the WHL starting on January 8th is more so in the NHL with if they're worried about money and arguing about it, now it's going to be tougher to convince them to come back to training camp over the Christmas holidays. So maybe coming after the Christmas holidays, and that's where I get online with Pang saying maybe the 15th.
I hear that a lot too. That's so, what Jamie said on the Offside Hockey podcast last night. But can I... They've basically been home for almost a year. I don't think they need any more family time. So if training camps are like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm a Christian like anybody else. Believe me, I understand it. But hockey's still a business. I think have your Christmas a little early, guys. And maybe show up for training camp, which I think most of them would want to do.
I think they'd want to celebrate with their team, too.
Exactly. Moving on to point three. Dun, 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 dun. Wednesday Night Football. Did you watch much of it?
All of it.
Okay, Steelers, Ravens. So I saw your tweets during the game and I enjoyed them. Obviously, the Steelers won 19-14, but they really had to work to get it. They really did. Here's what I'm not understanding. This annoying trend of going forward on 4th-and-2, 4th-and-1, 4th-and-3 in the red zone. Why are teams doing this? Mike McCarthy started it in week 2 at LA and crapped himself. And now all these coaches are doing. You saw the Eagles did it a couple times on, was it Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football? Mm-hmm. Turned it over. Why is nobody taking the points right now? You see the score. 19-14 in not great conditions. What's with this trend?
I know. I think when you look at Baltimore and having, you know, Robert Griffin III as the quarterback, you look at the Eagles and Carson Wentz and his struggles, I think it's a lack of faith that, hey, we're never getting down to the red zone again. So let's take the chance at the points while we can. We might get into field goal range later, but we're not going to get into real touchdown threat in the red zone. So let's try and go for it. But, yeah, they botched it at the end of the half. Now, Pittsburgh got away with a call, delaying the clock there at the end of the half. But so what? You still you put 3 points on the board instead of going for it. Spike it, put 3 points on the board. It's a much different game going into the half. You put the field goal out in the second half instead of going for it on fourth down. All of a sudden, Baltimore is in much better shape.
We saw, the more I think about it, Mike Zimmer did it in Seattle on a Sunday night game, which ended up costing them the game. I mean, on that little scrum with the Steelers there, I'm somewhat putting that on the refs. How do you not stop the play, start the play clock, and go again? That's as much on the referees as it is on the Steelers.
Oh, it is. It's absolutely on the referees.
Yeah. So Ravens kind of blew one, but it was fun watching Wednesday afternoon football. Not in a rush to do it again.
No.
But, of course, the lighting of the tree ceremony went Wednesday night from the Rockefeller Center. We've decided that we will be having the lighting of the tree ceremony. We've decided we're having one. We haven't decided when we're doing it.
We can do whenever you want.
I know, but let's stretch this out. Everybody wants to get their Christmas stuff out of the way. It's December 3rd.
We got some time.
We got time.
Yeah.
Let's build this up.
Middle of December.
Let's get it sponsored by the Venice House in PA.
Hey, I'm into that.
We're only through three topics, by the way. This is the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons Saskatchewan's original sports bar. Your home for the NFL. I'm going to try and move this along, but we can come back on all these. A lot of things going on in the NBA, by the way. Point four, NBA training camps are open. Huge trades yesterday. Russell Westbrook going from Houston to Washington for John Wall. I was literally like, he's still playing? I thought he'd retired. Got reading the, don't look at me that way. He hasn't played since December of 2018.
I know.
So how is this a great deal for the Houston Rockets, other than everybody wants out of Houston? So, anyways, there's going to be a lot of NBA talk, and the articles are starting to come. I saw it at CBC this morning. NBA playing, NHL still behind. Don't think there isn't a competition between those two, and the NHL doesn't want to be a team not playing, stuck in the barn, while the NBA's out playing. It's going to look bad on them. Point five. Pandemic forces cancellation of provincial curling in this province in Estevan, but not entirely. It was, I think, a confusingly worded news release from Sask Curl. Sorry, there will be provincial playdowns. They just won't be in Estevan. So the events at Affinity Place, which is the Taj Mahal of Junior A facilities, that's off the table. But there are still scenarios to determine a provincial champion for men's and women to go to Calgary in the bubble. So you saw that was a little confusing, or is it just me?
No, it's a little confusing, and they may shorten it. They may have two teams, four teams, eight teams. It won't be the same, and we're seeing every BC, Alberta, the other provinces are kind of going to go through the same thing, how they determine a representative. Some might just be by acclamation.
Right. Rob Williamson says, they do it, Rod, because the stats say it's worth it. 80% chance of getting the first down slash touchdown. Are we allowing analytics to coach our teams now? And dictate our pitching staff? Is that what we're doing? So that you can point to the numbers and the numbers say, well, the numbers told me to do it. I didn't hire the numbers. I hired you, John Harbaugh, Mike Zimmer. Tell me about the numbers. Let's just talk about the numbers this year. More often than not, they're turning it over down there in the red zone. Take the points. Oh, yeah. Ron Lancaster was wrong. And Cal Murphy, sure. Prairie Mobile Communications checking in. They say, oh, my God, love the Venice House in PA. Hashtag Greek ribs. Hashtag drooling. Listen, when it comes to food, I'm your guy. We've become Yelp. And point six was the Edmonton team names. Very fast here. Is Bart's ready? Yes. The Edmonton football team is down to 10 names, apparently, top 10, to replace Eskimos. They are the Elk, the Empire, the Eagles, the Energy, the Elite, the Edge, the Express, the Extreme, the Explorers, and Evolution. Apparently, the Escargot got tossed out with the trash. So we'll debate this later on. Maybe that'd be a good face-off, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. That would be really good. I got some thoughts on that.
This has been the warm-up. Victor Bartley joins us next, formerly of the Predators, Pats, and Blazers. Hang on, you're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm just checking in on my guy, Jamie Anstey, out in Nova Scotia. The equipment manager for the Coal Harbour Colts. I was on their podcast last night. Jamie, thanks for hooking that up last night. It was a lot of fun. You know what this show's doing? It's bringing the country together.
Yes.
The text line is open. for Prairie Mobile, 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Well, I was excited when I saw this guy's name on the marquee. A lot of you know the name, Victor Bartley. Spent most of his time in the Western Hockey League with the Kamloops Blazers. Finished up with the Regina Pats, so he joins us there. Hang on, Barts. I'm going to go through your resume here.
All right.
We only got 2 hours. 121 games in the National Hockey League, mostly with the Nashville Predators, 9 games with the Montreal Canadiens, and he settled down in Music City, I understand, where it's Christmas has come early. How you doing, Victor?
I'm doing great, Rod. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too, Matt. Listen, we got a lot of friends in Nashville, as you probably know. Stu Grimson, Terry Crisp, guys like that. And I know what a big family that Preds alumni is. But you guys have been through some real struggles, COVID being one, the tornadoes just before COVID. Can you tell me today how Nashville is 10 months into this pandemic?
In terms of economy, they're actually sitting quite well right now. Tourism started to pick back up slowly about a month and a half ago. But overall, I mean, we're back to 50% capacity again. For one thing, building in the city has never slowed down. The economic boom in terms of real estate has skyrocketed here. Builders have been building nonstop action. They've actually had their best last two quarters in the last decade right now. So in terms of that, it's going great. But we had those tornadoes come through here and take apart most of East Nashville. It was pretty sad to see because that area was on the rise big time. And then all those small businesses just got hammered by the hurricane. And it just took apart Nashville like we haven't seen since the floods of, it was about a decade ago, the flood came through and took out all of Bridgestone, all of downtown. But other than that, they're rebuilding right now, and, you know, things are getting better. Hopefully this vaccine gets rolling here, and we start to see some positive strides.
Bart, there's a lot of things I can get to with you, but I just want to tell our viewers, your time with Nashville was 2012 to 2016. As I recall, pretty good then. What was going on in Nashville with the Predators? What are your memories of playing with that club?
It was pretty crazy, actually. I'd started in Milwaukee, and when I got called up, we were still kind of a transition phase, but they had all the right pieces there and all the young guys. You know, they had the Ryan Ellis's, the Matias Ekholms, Roman Josis, all those guys there. And their forward core was coming in, Philip Forsberg, Arvidsson, Yarncroc, all those young guys that are now superstars in the league were only, you know, 19 to 21 years old at the time. And now they're all thriving, you know, making high-end salaries and putting up 50, 60 points a year. So overall, I mean, when I first came in the league, I realized I was like, oh, crap, I'm coming up against these guys right now. My time's probably going to be limited here in Nashville, and that's how it ended up going. But my time there, I'll never take for granted. Myself, my family, we love the city of Nashville, and that's why we kind of made this place home.
I'm going to come back to Nashville in a minute as to why you settled there and stuff, but I talked about your dub time, Kamloops and Regina. Did you realize at the time those are the two crown jewel franchises of the Western Hockey League, or were you too young to realize what it meant to play with those two teams?
I think when you're in the heat of it, you don't really take it as much for, you don't really appreciate it as much as you should until you look back on your career a couple years later and realize, you know what, you really did have it great where you were. And overall, just looking back on the experience, I think we can all say that you're never going to truly appreciate it in the moment because you're always living on edge and you're always trying to be the best that you can. And it's not truly till after you realize that that's how great of a spot it was, and two great cities, two great organizations. And I could have been more thrilled to play for both, and especially to finish my career out in Regina.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of memories, as you know, and that Pats team put a pennant up in the Brand Center rafters. I'm not sure if it was called the Brand Center at the time or not, but Katie Fleury writes in. She says, hello, Victor. Miss watching you play. From Craig Monroe, he says, my God, the D in Nashville. Don't forget Jones, Weber, and Suter. Oh, yes. Good times in Nashville. But the one thing, Barts, is that I think a lot of hockey fans forget. The Preds missed the playoffs the first 8 or 9 years they were in the NHL. Like, they were awful. And I think that led to the Golden Knights, you know, with the rules being tweaked, because the NHL didn't want to have that again. Like, in that market, they went through hell to get to where they are there. Do they still talk about that?
Yeah, they really talk about the heydays of even just growing the game in Nashville, because at the end of the day, free agents didn't want to come to Nashville at the time. And now it's a prime market to come to, let alone there's no state tax in Nashville. So players now see the financial benefit of playing in Nashville, especially with the escrow being as high as it is right now. And just the destination in general, how the economy is growing here so much, and people see the quality of life you're going to get here. And that's why players now would love to come to Nashville versus back in the day, they didn't really want to.
Well, and the amazing thing is, Darren, you're going to have to help me out with who that alum was of the Preds that came on our show. We did a show from Loser's Sports Bar a couple years ago. He'll look it up.
Dan Kesmer.
Dan Kesmer.
Dan Kesmer. Yeah, I met him in the lounge, actually, 2 years ago when they were playing Dallas in the playoffs. I had met Dan there randomly, and we were talking. It's actually a funny joke. So there's not a ton of alumni for the Preds that are in Nashville. More are starting to come back now. But at the time, I had met Dan. Somebody introduced me to him and said, Dan's like, oh, I've been taking advantage of the alumni lounge for years. He's like, what's funny is, he's like, I probably have the least amount of games of all players ever played.
That would be Dan Kesmer. Oh, man, it was awesome. Yeah. And Loser's Sports Bar was so much fun. You said you liked that place?
Yeah, back in, probably shouldn't say this, but back in my playing days, I probably spent a little too much time at Losers and Winners and overall. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it was, I remember my captain in Milwaukee, Scott Ford, who's now the assistant coach of Milwaukee Admirals, he had come up and said, he's like, Bartz, if you're ever in a situation where you can just take advantage of your social status and, you know, really live life, go do it. And I was living life at that point. You know, I was probably shouldn't have been doing it at 24, 25 and been a little more focused on the game. But just going out and meeting the people that I met and having the times that I had, it was hard to say no to.
Oh, what great advice, eh, Bartz? There's veteran
being honest
mentorship right there. And great memory, by the way, Kesmer, because if you'd put a gun to my head, I wouldn't have remembered Dan Kesmer. Craig Monroe writes, and he says, I heard Nashville is like a country version of Vegas. Can't wait to visit. It's that, Craig, and it's cheaper. Right? It's way cheaper. Hotels are cheaper. Booze is cheaper. Food's cheaper. It's just an unbelievable city. I can't wait to get back there. What are you doing now? What are you doing now, Bartz?
Well, basically, just almost debating on retiring right now. I played the last couple of years over in the KHL for the Kunlun Red Stars, but due to COVID, all the salaries were slashed big time. And I've got a wife and daughter and a baby boy on the way, so it didn't make sense for us financially and as a family to travel back to Moscow. And just being in the situation with COVID right now, we just didn't think it was a good option. So basically, we decided to stay back here and maybe just retire from hockey. But a few years back, I started a real estate investment company called 64 Investments. It all started from my number in Nashville being 64. And at the time, I had spent my first 2 years' salary from Nashville Predators on rental property in general, all across Music Row, Midtown, right next to Losers Winners, Broadway, you name it. I had bought a ton of real estate at the time, and I could just see how things were going in the city of Nashville. So I bought a ton of rentals, learned the market, learned the game, figured out why the richest people in the world own real estate and how they became wealthy. And from there, I just kept expanding my business. We got a lot of clients, had athletes all over, you know, MLB, NFL, NHL asking, like, how are you doing this while you're playing? So I just started a company, 64 Investments, and we expanded to now consulting on real estate. We're in development now with, 60, 70 unit complexes right now, commercial spaces in general. So now we're just kind of advising athletes across the board and doing development at the same time.
By the way, I'm going to pause that for a second. Shane Bradley, one of our viewers, he's watching in New York. He says, good morning, Peterson squad, almost Friday. And yes, grew up in New York, could buy a 30 pack, two steak of potatoes and corn for the price of a 24 here. It's America. Cheap, cheap, cheap. But let's not talk about healthcare. But Bartz, if I'm not mistaken, did your dad not do that at Maple Ridge? Wasn't he a real estate guy?
It was actually my uncle was out in Kingston, Ontario. He owns a bunch of apartment buildings. And I was trying to figure out, I'm like, this can't figure out how he did it, but there's always a way to do it. So we had found a way to do it with little to no money, actually, after I had purchased those first couple rentals. And I just pretty much learned the business and said, you know what, I'm going to make sure I can learn everything I can to figure out how these guys do it. Because at the end of the day, if everyone does it, there's a way to do it. Just got to figure out how and get creative with your financing and just learn the business, basically, and, you know, grind it. And whenever I wasn't at the rink, I wasn't watching Netflix. I wasn't watching, you know, Roku TV or anything. I was learning all the time, reading books, doing podcasts. And from there, it just expanded and expanded. And now it's got to the point where I knew hockey wasn't going to last forever, obviously. So I figured if I needed to retire by the time I hit 30, I would be okay. So we'd started the company a couple of years ago, and from then we've just grown more than I could have imagined.
Darren and I were saying before you came on about Maple Ridge, BC. I said you're the second most famous guy from Maple Ridge, Larry Walker being the first. There's somebody else from there. Is there not a race car driver?
So Cam Neely.
Ah, okay, he probably trumps all you guys. As you know. Yeah, that's for sure. Anybody else from Maple? Wasn't there a race car driver from there or something? Like, there's a lot of famous people coming out of there.
Yeah, there was. He passed away when I was really young. I feel terrible for not knowing his name.
Greg Moore.
That's why you were writing that in, Eddie Bankowski. I thought you were talking about another Greg Moore. Got it. See what we're putting together today? Yeah. And so Robin and Prince Albert's watching. He says, I'm watching the KHL right now. Minsk and CSKA. Let's go, Minsk. Are you following that league still, Bartz? If you just played in it, I guess
you are. I'm still following it. Of course. I've still got a lot of buddies over there, and a lot of my clients are actually based in the KHL right now. But yeah, I'm still following them on a daily basis. I got a feeling CSKA might win that game.
Okay, gotcha. How was Moscow, by the way? I am watching Netflix now at this stage of my life, Bartz. And there was a scene from Moscow in a show I was just watching this week. I'm like, God, that looks beautiful. I think it was in Designated Survivor was the show. Is it beautiful or is that just on TV?
Certain parts of it, absolutely. If you ever get a chance to travel to St. Petersburg, Moscow downtown in general, the Red Square, 100% do it. But there's some places where you would never want to go, honestly, where there are teams in the KHL where we had to fly into where there's not even a hotel in the town where you would stay in like a converted apartment building and, you know, no elevators, nothing. There's some pretty bad towns there, but overall, if you can get to a St. Petersburg or a downtown Moscow all day long, you should go try it.
Just like any town has their bad areas.
Exactly.
From producer Clark, when Bartz was in Regina, he was the captain of a team with Jordan Eberle, Jordan Wheel, and Colton Tubert, among others. What was that team like, and what does he remember most about that season?
Oh, I mean, at the end of the day, those guys were so young and they were so talented. I remember Wheel was only a 16-year-old kid. Ebs was only 17. I think Ebs had just gotten drafted or he was about to get drafted. And same with Tubi. You know, those guys were so far ahead of their years. And I had actually just reconnected with Colton actually the other day over LinkedIn. And he was telling me what's going on in his life. But just to touch back on that year, I mean, the skill that those guys had and, you know, how they – you could tell those guys were going to go on to – bigger and better things. It's great to see Ebs doing so well and Wheeler doing so well as well. But there's a ton of other guys on that squad too that just made it such a good all-round team. But those two definitely stood out the most, and you can see why they are where they are in their careers.
It was a lot of fun, and I always enjoyed my time with you, Bartz, as you can tell. I remembered a lot of it. Keep in touch, my friend. Might look you up if we come down to Nashville. I can't wait until our next visit, and I appreciate the time today. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Absolutely. All right, thanks a lot, guys. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Victor Bartley checking in from Music City. And did you see the comments coming in like crazy?
He's sharp. He's sharp.
Oh, yeah, he is, of course. I could have told you that.
Business stuff, that's impressive.
From the Jug, he says, what a place. Smashville. Memories made there. Do we want to go down that road, Jug? Remember the cheerleaders from the New Orleans Saints? Losers that night.
Do we need to pull up the photos? I've got them.
All right. Well, maybe we'll show them a little later.
I'll send them to Clark.
That happened. Monty in Saskatoon wanted to know if Bartz wants to coach. I think he just explained why. Why would he want to do that?
Yeah.
When he's making millions as a realtor. Real estate tycoon, Victor Bartley. But the second he showed up from Kamloops with the Pats, he just always looked good.
Yeah.
He's built like a truck and just very professional, you know? So he's a good guy.
Yeah. No, he's got everything going for him, and that's incredibly exciting to see. And, you know, Nashville's a place, and we were down there a couple of years ago now, two or three years ago now, but booming now, like the population's growing. You would have thought Nashville would be a popular place, but it was always a country place, I guess. Yeah. Right now it's becoming more mainstream and it's becoming more of a destination for sports, for tourists, for, you know, people that want to live. So he caught on.
Well, we do talk a lot about Nashville on this program, and I'll just say this. You were with me the whole time when we were there. The cab drivers, the Uber drivers, the restaurant workers, the older ones were like, we like this town better when it was just a sleepy little town. We didn't like with the NFL coming to town and the NHL. It put us on the map. We liked it just quiet the way it was because now it's busting at the seams.
Yeah.
And the one thing I remember is coming in from the airport and the tour driver saying, that's where Taylor Swift lives. She's on the top floor of that condo.
Yeah.
I can't imagine she would enjoy being pointed out to every tourist that comes into Nashville where she lives.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine either. But, hey, it's kind of neat to see, though. And, you know, it's,
oh, yeah.
The whole top floor is hers. You know that. Maybe the one below it, too.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful city.
Yeah.
Smashville. We'll come back with a sports update. The text line's open. And we got Sammy Costantino and Rob Fault coming up in hour two. Happy Thursday, everybody. Thanks for joining us for coffee. We'll be right back on the RP Show, Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. There's a Twitter glitch with polls for some reason. Can somebody explain that? Because our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is, which was Canada's best ever World Junior team? It's been up for an hour, and there are only 19 votes on it, Darren. We're usually well into the hundreds,
yeah,
close to 1,000 on this. So anyways, the Facebook's working. Your options are 1991, 2005, 2009, or other. And on Facebook, they're all saying 2005. And as much as I love the 91 team, because the tournament was here, and it was Mike Sillinger, Eric Lindros, the Big E. I'm pretty sure it was Jimmy Wade in goal. Nobody's corrected me on that. 05 is the best World Junior team ever. But we'll put that to Rob Falls and Sam Costantino next hour. But I think I'm going to take down the Twitter poll because it's embarrassing. 19 votes.
20 now.
You got my goalies? What? Oh, it was Trevor Kidd and Felix Podfans. Jimmy Waite then was late 80s. So Kidder and Felix the Cat. No wonder they won it.
I know.
Sports update. The undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers overcame some rust and beat the shorthanded Baltimore Ravens 19-14 on Wednesday Night Football. The Steelers now 11-0. A major swap of point guards in the NBA. The Houston Rockets have traded Russell Westbrook to Washington for John Wall and a first-round pick. Wall is a five-time All-Star, but he hasn't played since December of 2018 due to various injuries. The NBA says 48 players have tested positive for COVID-19 since testing resumed last week. The NBA has told teams that some positive tests were to be expected. First baseman Jesus Aguilar has agreed to terms on a $4.35 million one-year deal to remain with the Miami Marlins. Aguilar batted .277 with 8 homers and 34 RBI last season. Power-hitting outfielder Adam Duvall is a free agent after the Atlanta Braves declined to offer him a contract for the 2021 season. And the Detroit Lions have put cornerback Desmond Trufant and defensive tackle Danny Shelton on injured reserve. The Lions also activated tight end Hunter Bryant from IR and signed defensive tackle Kevin Strong to the active roster from the practice squad. Detroit plays at Chicago this weekend in its first game since coach Matt Patricia was fired. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room that can handle all your fun and food needs. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com. You can find them right in the heart of the Dewdney Strip. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Does it ever? Of all these topics today, Dupes, what do you want to sink your teeth into? I'll leave that to you, and then I
know. Just on a side note, because I'm going to send
whatever
these,
you got.
I'm going to send these to Clark. I'm just going through the photos from Nashville, and there's some good ones. I got the Peter Laviolette when we saw him
at the Titans game.
But I pulled the one of you, me, and Terry Crisp. And then the cheerleaders. So maybe we'll play those later. I'll get those to Clark. But there's also one of you and I on the street corner of Nashville.
With Donald Trump.
With Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un. I don't know if we should put that one up.
Put it up.
Or not. Okay, I'll download that one. I'll send it to Clark, too. So
Donald Trump isn't really going away. But I can tell you this. I do not miss the tension on this continent with him in charge. I don't miss it.
No, not at all.
A lot of the complaining has kind of drained away. And they're more focused on coronavirus now.
But. That was the one thing that was exciting through the election was, and I saw somebody tweet it, is I'm so looking forward to politics being boring again. Right? Being something that's just...
Well, they've got it.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Whoever
now.
Said that.
Yeah.
And I'll also say this to the viewer that said, Nashville would make a great RP show trip destination. I would go back in a second. I would go back... every year. But I'm really, really, really yearning for Florida. I'm sorry. I just love it. And you haven't been there yet.
No.
And we can go to Nashville's not going anywhere.
Right. We'll go there another
time. We were just there 2 years ago. Now, I understand Florida's not going anywhere either. But just get down there and tell me if it isn't the greatest place you've ever been. And
I can't wait.
The more and more shows that we can do down there, maybe it'll be permanent someday. I do have a story. You know, yesterday I told that story about the hockey, the goalie mask with Kelly Hitchens and the Brandon Weekings. Robin Wildy in Prince Albert writes in and says, kid had cool pads back in the day. Robin, you must be a goalie if you'd remember that. But if you want to hear a wild story, and by the way, when I talk about that camp with the Weekings, it wasn't long. I was only there for a few weeks. However, I'm a big guy, as you know, 6'3" and a half. So too is Trevor Kidd. So Trevor Kidd was in that same camp as I was. We're the same age. And the Weekings had just ordered him a brand new pair of 36-inch Cooper Durasoft pads. They were white leather. Hot. Hot. Again, this was 1988. And the funny thing is, and you can ask the Weekings. You can ask Kelly McCrimmon. You can ask Doug Sauter. You can ask Craig Heisinger, might be the best guy to talk to, who's now the GM of the Manitoba Moose, but he was the trainer at the time. They gave me those white pads because Kid didn't want them.
Really?
So he got those tan Durasoft pads. Now, you got to be a serious hockey nerd to even understand what I'm talking about. But do you remember old pictures of Trevor Kidd? They were like deer colored.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Like a light camel color.
Yeah.
So these pads had come in from Cooper, white leather, and he didn't like them. So they're like, he's like, send them back. I want the tan ones.
Wow.
So I got the pads and the white leather ones. And the only reason that I kept them for years, that was that old deer hair.
Yeah.
Like when those things got wet, it was like you were carrying concrete barricades on your legs compared to what they were now. But I sold all my gear to a buddy of Carm's a few years ago. I'm just done with it.
Yeah.
When hockey became not fun, I sold all my gear to Carm, which included that Chris Osgood mask. And then I tried to get it back, and Carm couldn't remember who I sold it to, who his buddy was.
Ah, so you couldn't get it back.
Now, the other thing before we break and come back for viewer takeover. Oh, you got a picture, kid? Clark's got a picture of Trevor Kidd with those. Those are the pads. They're kind of dark there. Like they're wet.
Yeah.
Okay. When they're dry, they're far lighter brown than that. Great shot. Great shot. I think that's Jim Matheson standing in front. And now 10 for the Pats.
They do the red, like Braun, right? Had those retro, the newer versions, but to make them look like that color, you know, because that was the style.
And that was the style.
Retro.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Caesar writes in, he says, I still have a set from the late 80s. I can imagine the hockey gear that you got in your basement, Caesar. Sell it. What, are you opening a museum? Darnell Theros from Rockstar Supply Chains writes in. He says, Florida. Flo-rida. That's right. There's anywhere that we can go. Orlando, Miami, Tampa, Jacksonville. And I was talking to our travel agent the other day, Michelle, and she said, because 2020 has sucked so bad, maybe we make it a two-week excursion.
Can we? I'd be in.
What do you think about that?
You know what we could do, too, is if people are in, you could buy the 2 weeks, you could buy the one. And after week one, a whole new group of people would show up for week two.
Sure. We'll just stay down there.
Well, we just stay. We're the constant. I like it.
I think Clark likes that idea, too. But he's got kids. He's worried about being away from his family. But anyways, we got a year to plan it.
Yeah.
Well, let's come back with a viewer takeover. Everybody, sociable, have a swig of coffee. We'll be back with Viewer Takeover in a moment. You're watching The RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and Listen Live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Viewer Takeover, and I want to get into the Edmonton football name. Clark said he's working on the Nashville photos, loading them into the system. And the second you have them, Clark, let me know. Just visual evidence that these stories actually happen. And these are taking, you know, good. We were posing for photos. This was just in the last 5 years that I started actually being aware that I might want to have photos of these things. Imagine the 25 years before that.
I know.
That we don't have photos of. The one photoless moment of my life was interviewing John Candy on the sidelines. 1991, Riders Argos. I'm sitting there going, I'm interviewing Uncle Buck. I'm interviewing Del Griffith.
You're not thinking about photo op.
I wasn't thinking about it. No. So let me know, guys. Oh, you got him. Well, let's throw him up. This is from 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think
almost
so.
Almost to the day. That's Terry Crisp in the middle. That's at Loser's Bar.
Yeah.
That we were talking with Victor Bartley about. Dupes on the right, obviously. Me on the left. Crispy. Oh, he was hilarious. Those are the New Orleans Saints cheerleaders that just happened to be there. They had a bye week. And they came to Nashville to party. That tells you, New Orleans cheerleaders go to Nashville to party. And that's on Broadway. I'm glad that you could get that North Korea leader's name. I can.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un. I can never remember it. And Trump on the left. So that was our trip to Nashville 2 years ago. So that's some of the zany hijinks.
Yeah, and there's a lot more photos we could show, but
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And that's just a little taste what you get when you come on a sports trip with us and with Rod. And it's, man, it's fun.
You run into the big names.
It's fun. Well, Peter Laviolette, him,
right.
Gil Scott, the agent at the football stadium.
Jim McKenzie. Okay, guys, we only got 2 minutes here. Let's face off for the Ultimate Fan Zone and the Mad Greek Restaurant of Moose Jaw. The top 10 names, the finalists, it seems to me, for the Edmonton football team are the Edmonton Elk, Empire, Eagles, Energy, Elite, Edge, Express, Extreme, Explorers, Evolution. Viewer Randolph Zora says, does the Edmonton Football Club have to have a nickname that starts with E? They do, because they don't want to change the logo. The EE. I'm not moving off Empire. I hope the president of the Esks and the board, whatever they're going to call themselves, have a change of heart because Empire. That will appease the old longtime fans because that was the nickname, the Evil Empire, the Edmonton Empire. They're saying they won't do it, but I hope that they change their mind and do. So that's my vote. What's yours?
I'm with Randolph. And I was talking to Clark about this yesterday. Not that I think it needs to be something other than an E. I like the idea of being able to keep the logo. But if you really want to move on and change, at least do the due diligence of opening up some other possibilities. Don't just close it off. Now, I know that might be a longer process, but do the due diligence. You might come up with something really amazing that doesn't start with an E. At least do the work to give it a shot. That's what I have an issue with. But I like Empire if they do go with an E name. But I would have liked to see them at least come up with something different.
Gary Mahura, my longtime stats guy out of Alberta. He's watching. Thank you, Gary, for watching. And the uncle of Josh Mahura, Anaheim Ducks defenseman, says Empire. We all say Empire. Can we please have the Empire? What's it going to take for it to be the Empire? And the Edmonton Elk doesn't exactly, let's go Elk!
No. Monty did say Bears. I did see the logo where they turned the last E into a B. Ties in with Golden Bears. The whole city can be Bears football. That I like too. That's what I want to just not be lazy about it and say, well, we don't want to change the logo. And we don't want to change all the stuff on the center of the field and whatnot.
Mandy, can you put that comment up? She says, Rod, no offense, but I think you need to be day of age. It's like what the Saskatchewan Rough Riders marketer you had in said, you have to be modern and listen to the fans. Empire will offend some, whether you like it or not. We'll continue this over into hour two. This has been the face-off for the Ultimate Fan Zone of Mad Greek. We're coming up on Game Plus with Sam Cosentino and Rob Falds, or we'll see you right here. Now I'm the whore and the pimp. That's where the money is.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.